Hello listeners, welcome to this edition of Simply Save podcast. Several investors today find mutual funds a convenient way to invest and plan for their future. But that's not the case in smaller cities and towns. Investors in these parts may not be so comfortable with financial investments, but rather consider physical assets. While investing part of your funds in physical assets is fine, a large investment in these assets can be difficult to liquidate in times of need. So what mutual fund industry can do to get more investors from these parts to invest in mutual funds? Are incentives good enough for individual distributors to get these investors who on an average make very small investments in mutual funds? To answer these and also more questions on investing, we are joined by Ashutosh Bishnoi, Managing Director of Mahindra Manulife Mutual Fund, which was launched with the focus on smaller cities and towns.
Hello Ashutosh, welcome to Simply Save podcast. Mahindra Manulife Mutual Fund was launched in 2016 with the aim of offering investment products, especially in semi-urban areas and smaller towns. What have been some of the challenges for your fund house in penetrating these markets, which the mutual fund industry calls B30 town?
Thank you Ajash for having me. You are right. Our goal has been to take the mutual fund story to smaller cities, ultimately to rural if possible. The biggest challenges are two. Number one challenge is that there is not enough penetration of physical, real people advising or even guiding investors in small cities on how to invest their money with mutual funds. So the big challenge that we overcame was awareness. And thanks to AMFI and the large campaign that they run. But if people wanted to go and talk to somebody, there are very few advisors or distributors. That challenge remains. But the biggest challenge, which is yet to be overcome, and it will take time, I think, comes from long habit of families to invest their monies in land and gold. And as we move out into smaller cities and go beyond smaller cities in rural India, that habit is almost a ritual. It is, there are occasions marked in the year when the family will buy its assets. And they're celebrated in the case of gold even more so, right? I guess there are good reasons for that. People like to hold physical assets. They can see them, touch them, and, they come handy when the family is in trouble. Financial assets such as mutual funds, you can't see what you buy. But there is a way forward, quite honestly. There's the younger people are beginning to question that wisdom. And they're seeing clearly they're more educated. They're seeing a reasonable amount of returns and money being made in financial assets such as mutual funds. And we do get a headway. But it is slower than what it is in the metropolitan and very urban markets.
And how the challenges posed by lockdown and COVID-19 has impacted the mutual fund industry's bid to deepen their reach in B30?
So the first version of the lockdown, which happened last year, I think the first 60 days were tough because people were getting used to the idea the markets could fall off so sharply, which they did. If you recall, the first 60 days we were in the negative zone. But what did help was the rebound of the market. So the message that investors in smaller markets got that this business of investing in mutual funds could result in a negative territory. But when they saw it come back, the confidence began to return, but not immediately. It took time. Also because particularly in the middle markets, which is the smaller cities, the livelihood got impacted, I would say, a little more seriously than it did in larger cities, which are more services-led businesses. Because in mid-sized cities, small cities, it was purely a question of whether people had liquidity to want to continue to buy, they wanted to buy, and whether they were permitted to get out and buy it. So classically, in a small city, if you see the spread of livelihoods, it is only dependent on salaries to a small degree. It is more dependent on your shop that you own or the small business that you trade, that you carry out. Or it is substantially also driven by the agricultural activity because many of the trades are linked back to agriculture, whether it is, dairy, whether it is grocery or whether it is milling or it is renting of agricultural equipment. The good thing that happened last year was agricultural activity was not impacted at all. And therefore, all the income that was generated out of agricultural-related activities remained more or less intact. But people in these cities were contributing to SIPs. And when their income got impacted somewhat, there was a holdup. And I think we as an industry were very quick to introduce SIP pause facility. A lot of people took that up. And we saw those beginning to remove pauses in the second half of the year. So very distinctly, last year was not very great for the mutual fund industry for equity collections. In fact, we were negative territory. As a fund, I was very happy to report that Mahindra Manulife Mutual Fund actually ended the year in positive territory with equities. And this has to do with the fact that we are working in smaller markets. And people, the moment they saw the reason, they began to come back. So the retail investor got their confidence back eventually, even in the smaller markets.
Also, can you tell us how do you think the industry and distributors can expand their reach in these B30 towns?
We've been experimenting with a combination of two things. Very clearly, the B30 towns are more tactile. People over there like to meet and touch and feel because, you know, they are that way inclined. That's why they buy real assets. So having physical presence helps. But clearly, what's very clear to us now is that in the transactions part of it, in the B30 towns, people are very happy to do it online because they have very quickly learned to do commerce with their phone. And for them, that's literally godsend, because in those cities and those towns and villages, physical access means one day's loss of earnings. Because you spend that day going to the nearest point of purchase, which could be, you know, even 50 miles away or 100 miles away. And then you lose that day's earnings. So in that sense, the online access has been a godsend for them. And they have very quickly learned that. And I think, therefore, we have to create a hub and spokes model on the physical side, where there is a person available in a particular hub to reach out to be available to investors in that region if they want to meet somebody. And that person maybe has a journey cycle on his motorcycle. He goes from city to city or town to town, so that people have a physical confidence that, yes, there is a company, there is an office in a near town. But the transaction can very easily be done online and prefer to do online, because then it's more accurate. And there is greater confidence because, you know, when you hand over a check to somebody compared to you transmit money to the company's account directly, there is a tremendous sense of confidence that people get. So it's a combination. I would say, you know, maybe 5-10 years from now, 100% online is going to be possible. But there is a mental block on 100% online when it comes to investing money. When it comes to paying back loans, yes, people are happy to do that. But when it comes to, you know, giving you money to keep, which is the investment model, then people do want to, you know, shake somebody's hand, see somebody's face, see an office. That is still there in smaller cities as a barrier. We will overcome it, I'm sure, with time. But as of now, I think both are required for distributors and AMCs to show face somewhere.
So in case of Mahindra Manulife, the fund house has also benefited from Mahindra Finance branch presence in several towns. So is that something that you're saying is quite important for fund houses to have their own branch presence in these towns? Or does that help quite a bit?
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean you have an office. You must have a person. And that person ideally should be from that area and locality, because confidence builds on that basis. If I send somebody, you know, from Bombay to sit in a small city or a town, it's not going to work because, you know, he'll be an alien and people may not trust easily. So you need to have local people. And for us, we have a tremendous opportunity because, you know, Mahindra Finance has, along with its subsidiaries, over 1,300 offices all over the country. And so far, we are reaching out to people only through about 65 of these, which is for a small company like us, a big reach out. But yes, you are right. Reaching out and letting people know that, yes, we are there in the neighborhood, it does help a lot.
You're the only fund house that had early on decided to include Hindi words in your scheme names. What was the reason behind this, and how has that helped in connecting with investors in smaller towns and cities?
You know, Josh, when you go for penetration of any product in India, you need the customer to understand you in his or her language. And we reasoned that if people are asked to learn English just so that they can invest in mutual funds, I think they're not going to do that. right? And the lesson is very clear. If you see any deeply penetrated product in the country, whether product, service, you have to speak people's language, and it starts with the product, right? So we just took a simple view that, you know, if we have to penetrate, then it has to be understood. We started with Northern India and Western India, so Hindi was handy. However, as we went further into South, we realized it'll have to be a mix. It can't just be a simple, you know, Hindi name, because in parts of South, people just don't understand, right? So you have to be sensitive to a customer's learning ability so that you can penetrate deeper. So that was the reason it has paid off handsomely. To start with, we had an immediate connect. I mean, leave alone the customers, the distributors. And they felt so good about being able to take our product to the customers. So it has helped and it will remain our hallmark.
SEBI also tweaked the distribution commission structure to push the industry to expand its services to B30 towns. Earlier, the commissions were linked to B15 towns. How much of that has helped?
Oh, it's helped a lot, I can tell you. Okay. Simply because, you know, we are able to give a decent remuneration to somebody who works far away and converts people, because, like I said, the conversion hit rate is lower. There is a mental barrier. Somebody has to work on people. And therefore, having the B30 incentive is a huge help, certainly for people like us.
And what is generally the average ticket size of, say, SIP investments in these towns compared to top 30 city investors?
So typically it's 1,000 rupees.
Okay.
You know, so it's a much lower number than what it would be for the industry.
Okay.
I would imagine the industry number will be well in excess of, you know, 3,000-4,000 rupees, maybe even 5,000 rupees. For us, a typical SIP in these cities is 1,000 rupees.
Manulife bought 49% stake in Mahindra Mutual Fund last year. How has Manulife partnership helped the fund house in expanding the reach? Have they brought in new product ideas? Can you please shed some light on this?
So a couple of things. When we were looking for a partner, we were very clear that the core expertise that we are looking at is that in fund management and risk management. Because let's be clear, Mahindra is a great brand name and people trust it intuitively for many years, for good reason. But we aren't the people you turn to for managing money, isn't it? That's not the automatic brand that you come to for financial money management. For loans, yes, certainly. And therefore, we were clear that we must have a partner who knows who has a track record and has knowledge base in that space, which is the core of our business. So that's what Manulife gets to the table in the first place. Tremendous bandwidth of knowing and understanding how to manage money and as a process. So they've actually helped us to introduce in our system a process they follow across all the Asian markets. They call it the GCMV process. Very simply, it means growth, cash flow, management and valuation. But that process works so well that we managed to actually improve the consistency of performance of all our equity funds. And it's very evident over the last 1 year that we have engaged with them, that if you see our 1 year performance of our funds, in fact, even the 3 year performance of our funds has got fixed thanks to this process, following this process. Of course, we have to do it in the correct way in India, it's relevant for India. But so just to give you an example, Manulife Global has an India strategy as well. They've been investing in India in excess of 3,000 crores over the last almost 7-8 years. And that fund is one of the top performing equity funds out of India. So they have on ground implemented that process, and we are now using that same processes. And that is the first thing that they bring to the table. And the second thing they bring to the table is risk management. Let me explain what that means. So we spent the last whole year, you know, that in the mutual fund industry on the debt side, there have been many incidents. But we spent the whole year managing that risk with the help of our own team's expertise as well as Manulife expertise in a way that we stayed ahead of that problem and didn't allow that to impact us even in a single incident. So risk management is a very important part of managing money. When you have this kind of a backup, then your ability to reach out to smaller customers becomes more confident. And I would say, obviously, Manulife is not somebody who knows the Indian market and, you know, knows how to approach the penetration, etc. But just having that confidence that we can consistently offer a product to them, to the customer, is useful. In Asian markets, Manulife has sold products in retail in Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, of even ticket sizes of $1. So they have the expertise. We are now working with their product team to see how we can bring those kind of products into India, which, you know, makes sense for the customer. You can imagine $1 ticket size is like, what, 75 rupees. So if we can create a what you call a sachet product out of a mutual fund with their help, that's something that, you know, I would look forward to. If it's available as expertise, we have to see how, whether it works in India, whether it fits in the regulatory environment.
What kind of mutual fund products individual distributors can use to introduce investors to mutual funds, especially in B30 cities who might be first-time investors? Because simple products like Nifty index funds offer little commissions to distributors. So these may not be naturally something that distributors would like to offer. Any thoughts or views on this?
Look, in my experience so far, not only here, but also in my previous engagements where, you know, at UTI, I was engaging with all the 600 districts of India. I have found nothing simpler than either an SIP or an SWP, depending on the family, in a well-diversified equity fund. That seems to work like magic. Because when you have a well-diversified fund, by and large, it will do better than the index if it's reasonably managed. And if you deliver a return in the range of, so for example, you know, we say Sensex or Nifty long-term, since 1994 return is somewhere in the region of 12-13%. If you can do slightly better than that over a period of time, I think people are very happy. But SIP or SWP is a choice which the advisor needs to help them to make. Because what typically happens if it's a household where there is a lot of regular income, SIP is a good idea. But in smaller cities, I have found that lumpiness of income is an issue. Because, you know, it depends typically on the agricultural cycle. So you get money 3-4 times a year, maybe 3 times a year. And those kind of monies, SWPs, are actually far better suited. I think we need to create a better understanding of how to use that among the distributor sales force. That in smaller cities, do not ignore this option, because people are not very forthcoming about their income unless you question them. You can't assume that everybody has a salary. And, you know, in Bombay, Delhi, you can go to people and by and large, you can say they have some regular income, even out of business. But over there, people will not tell you unless you ask. And even then, they'll be a little hesitant because they don't like to talk about money, how much they earn. But you can, if you talk about the trade that they do, you can pretty well judge the lumpiness of income. And then SWP becomes a very, very powerful tool for them.
And what will be your advice for small investors with respect to their mutual fund investment, especially in this current environment?
So I was talking about this to a few other investors and distributors the other day. And my view, if you had asked me this question 1 month ago, I would have said, well, this is a time where you should look at how much money you've made. And if you want to take some profit off the table, it's not a bad idea. But now, 1 month later, I think the situation has changed quite a bit. What has happened is we have bounced back from the second wave very quickly. And in doing so, we've attracted a tremendous amount of flow from international investors all over again. All the scientists are giving us a minimum of 6 months window before they feel that any other wave or variant could impact us. So if we have at least 6 months, I see, you know, business booming. I see more flows coming in. And therefore, why should you not benefit from this, at least in this year? So my advice would be, keep your money there. If you don't have more, you don't have to bring more. But if you have an SIP, you know, top it up. This may be a good time, because finally our market, more than valuations, is driven by liquidity. We know that. And therefore, if we keep judging the market by valuations, maybe in the longer term, you need to do that, obviously. But in the nearer term, you know, liquidity is going to drive the prices. And if you can make that extra money in the next 6 months to a year, well, you should definitely give it a shot. That would be my advice.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Ashutosh, for joining us today and sharing your valuable insights. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Josh. It was a pleasure to be with you.
That's all the time we have for today's podcast. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. For any feedback, do write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news and views, log on to moneycontrol.com.